Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms. Today, we're going to take a different look at real estate, and that's the role it plays in a safe haven portfolio. There is lots to think about going on in the world. How do you protect yourself against the good, the bad, and the ugly? We'll talk about that today on the Real Estate Guys radio program. All aboard. Registration is now open for the Real Estate Guys 15th Annual Investor Summit at Sea. Imagine spending an entire week with like-minded investors, world-class educators, and real-world professionals. Returning in 2017 are sales legend Tom Hopkins, international developer Beth Clifford, attorney Mauricio Raul, commercial mortgage broker and syndicator Michael Becker, and the author of The Creature from Jekyll Island, G. Edward Griffin. Plus, joining us live and in person for his fifth Investor Summit, Peter Schiff. Plus, more to be announced. It all begins April 1st, 2017 in Houston, Texas. Visit realestateguysradio.com and click the tab that says Summit to learn more and reserve your spot. This transformational week is like no conference you've ever attended. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click Summit and make plans to spend a week with the Real Estate Guys and an all-star faculty on the 15th Annual Investors Summit at Sea.
Hi, this is Patrick Donahoe of Paradigm Life. Wall Street and banks spend billions of dollars per year in advertising with the goal to convince you that they are the solution. But take a look around. None of their advice has worked. The number one concern of all Americans is still money. So are you ready for another way? I've spent the last 10 years teaching people like you a superior way to build wealth and financial independence outside of Wall Street. I've developed a free e-learning program called Infinite 101, where you can learn about the perpetual wealth strategy. In this free program, you'll learn how to build your wealth without a 401k, IRA, or mutual funds. You'll also learn how to establish private financing without ever having to walk into a bank again. These are just two of the many ways this free program can propel you toward financial independence. Simply go to paradigmlife.net and click on the register button on the top right corner of the page to gain instant access.
Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio show. I'm your host, Robert Helms. With me, as usual, co-host financial strategist Russell Gray.
Hey, Robert.
There is so much going on in the world, and you know, we just came through in the United States this big election and all this major positioning and blah, 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 blah. We got sick and tired of hearing about everything on the news, and just to make it worse, it continues. So maybe your candidate lost, maybe your candidate won, maybe your candidate wasn't even in the race, but regardless, here we sit. And the world is changing. So much is going on. We were invited to speak at the New Orleans Investment Conference a little while ago and had an amazing audience for a presentation we did on the role of real estate in a safe haven portfolio. And there were so many good ideas that came up from that and other presentations. We thought we'd share some of those with you today.
Yeah, I think the thing that's really interesting is you hear a lot of these people commenting about switching out the captain on the Titanic. In other words, our financial woes globally are so bad, the debt is so bad, the systemic problems are so bad that the ship is going to sink no matter what. You listen to some of that and it's tough. You know, you go to some of these conferences and you hear these guys talking about the things they're concerned about. I was just listening to Jim Rickards the other day. He's talking about his new book, The Road to Ruin. But inside of all that, there's some hope. And the hope is people figure it out. You know, Simon Black from Sovereign Man, we've done a couple of his conferences and he talks about that a lot. He talks about all the things that are wrong. But he says, I'm not depressed. I'm not concerned. What I am is I'm diligent and I'm putting myself in a position where I am going to be most likely to mitigate a lot of the risk and to capitalize on a lot of the opportunities. Because again, there's always two sides of every coin. And so that's a real important thing to keep in mind as you are listening to this. And if you're into real estate, and obviously if you're listening to the show, you're a real estate person, you're sitting in a good place because I think we're going to make the case, and we made the case in New Orleans, that real estate is probably one of the best investments you can make in very uncertain times.
It absolutely is. And we talk about real estate in all its forms and facets every week on the show. And this week, a little bit different, right? We spent the last couple of weeks talking about agricultural real estate. That's a different play. This is really about all the folks out there who are saying that the sky is going to fall. Now, we don't really take an opinion on this as much as we take a position of being ready, right? We want to be prepared, as we say in Boy Scouts. And the way to be prepared is not to let this stuff knock you off guard or even to get all excited and energetic about it. I mean, there's a lot of talking heads out there that want to say it's the end of the world. And there's other folks who say, no, they're wrong. We're seeing the biggest stock market increase ever. And you can see the stock market's voting for Trump now because, gosh, look how well we're doing. Well, the backstory of all that is, as real estate investors and as investors in general, we just need to have a big understanding of the economic system, the foundation upon which all this is built.
And I think it really starts with just understanding the problems. If you can understand where the risks are, if you understand where the concerns should be, then you can begin to focus on understanding how to not only pick what asset classes and neighborhoods and marketplaces and demographics you want to be in as far as real estate goes, but how you want to structure your financing, just how you can begin to take a position in the economic environment that is most likely to benefit you from the things that are going to go wrong and protect you from the things that are going to go wrong. And I think it really starts with understanding the dollar. We started out this idea, the graphic that we used is this picture of this big bear lumbering through the woods. And the reality is, when you look at the dollar and what's been going on with the dollar, it's been under attack. It's got a 100-year trend of losing value. We know that. When you look at the charts, you can see it from 1913, when the Federal Reserve was first founded, and then through all of the things that happened, Bretton Woods in 44 created a lot of demand for the dollar. Then in 71, the dollar really went down a lot when Nixon took us off the gold standard. They jacked up interest rates to kind of save the dollar, and we've been on a 35 or 40-year interest rate slide. And they've been kind of bouncing off the bottom, you know, they're just barely up off of zero. And so when you're in that type of an environment as a real estate investor, it's great because you have low cost money. But some of the concerns are that the very currency that you denominate your wealth in, the dollar, could end up going the way of the dodo bird. And you think, oh my God, that could never happen. Well, you know what? That's the way they thought when Britain was at the financial pinnacle of the world. And yet in 1944, the upstart United States took over as the world's reserve currency. And that's when the dollar really became the world's reserve currency. Today, a lot of people are looking at China and their attempts to undermine the dollar. Is it going to happen tomorrow? Probably not. Is it going to happen next year or the year after? We don't know, but the trend is pretty clear. And so the thing is, are you going to be prepared for it? Or are you going to have a plan B just in case? If everything's great with the dollar, then you're fine. If everything changes and you're not prepared, well, then you're not so fine. So as Simon Black often says, well, how are you worse off for being prepared? I mean, you take the steps you need to be prepared, and something doesn't happen, how are you worse off? The key is to make sure that if something does happen that's unexpected, that you are prepared. And that's really the point.
So that's the dollar. And the history of dollar is very, very clear. If you're not sure about that, it's easy to go figure it out. That ever since we had a dollar, it has continued to decline in value and purchasing power. And it's crazy subtle the way it happens. That's the thing about inflation. The silent tax, if you will. Just before you know it, you're paying $4 for a cup of coffee and $3 for a gallon of gas. And it wasn't always like that. And yet, our dollar has changed its value compared to other things. You often hear lately the dollar's strong. Well, that's in comparison to other currencies. When you look at it compared to real assets, like the value of land or the value of a precious metal like gold or silver, then you can really see what's happening long term, the erosion of the dollar. Now, again, it's nothing to panic about and run for the hills. It's getting on the right side of the trade, if you will. And we spend a lot of time getting our mind around these economic concepts so that we get some direction as to where to go. We're not going to affect what happens at the Fed. Even if every single listener to the show all got together and we stormed the Federal Reserve, it would mean nothing. That's not the point. The point isn't to be out there, you know, with banners and signs. The point is to say, okay, based on what I know about the future value of the dollar, what can I do? So that's the first thing. The next threat to your wealth, if you will, is the very financial system that the world sits upon.
Yeah, this is really important because we are in a currency of debt. Everything in our society that is purchasing power is debt. And in fact, when you borrow, you borrow money into existence. It's a long, complicated thing to understand. But a lot of people think it's possible to pay off the debt, and it's not. And the reason it's not is because the currency is borrowed into existence. So, for example, if you were to just have a little tiny economy of $100 and you had to borrow your currency into existence from somebody who issued the currency, say a central bank, and the central bank was going to charge you an interest, and just to make the numbers round, let's call it 10%. So at the end of the year, you would owe $10 of interest on this $100 in your economy. Okay, that sounds good. The problem is there's only $100 in the economy. So even though there's a lot of buying and selling and trading going on in the economy, and some people are going to end up with a bigger share or a lesser share of that $100, if you take all of the purchasing power in the entire economy, there's only $100. And yet at the end of the year, you owe $110. And you can see the problem, right? The only way to continue to grow the economy is to continue to borrow more currency. And it's a cycle of perpetual, persistent, eternal debt. That's our system. Now, you might say, well, that's not a good system. Maybe not. Some people think it is a good system. The people who designed it think it is a good system. I don't know, but it is what it is. And so when you understand that, on the other side of a debt, there's always a party. There's the person who owes, and there's the person who's owed. And when you have bonds, which is the evidence of debt that governments issue and companies issue, you have all these bonds floating around out there. These are IOUs. And the concern is when there get to be so many of them and there's not enough productivity, which is real work going on in order to pay the debt service on the debt, it's hard to service. And those debts come into risk. Well, the problem is when all these balance sheets of all these different banks and institutions are all daisy chained together because they've borrowed from each other and somebody defaults, it's just like what happened in 2008 in the subprime crisis. You had Joe Sixpack out there getting a subprime home loan, and he's going to work and doing real work, and he's generating real income, and he's living in a house that he borrowed to live in, and that's a real asset. And the lender is either going to get his income or the house. That's kind of the deal. And that's okay, right? So the mortgage that's created is a real asset also because it's backed by something that's real, either the borrower's income or the property itself. The problem is when you start adding all these derivatives in, and now you have people who are having debt that is backed up by the same asset. In other words, you have two people or three people or five people or in some cases 75 people who are all backed up by the same worker and by the same property. And the problem with that is that if that subprime mortgage goes bad, then everybody who's backed up by it goes bad too. And that's what happened in 2008. Peter Schiff has been telling us forever that they didn't fix the problems. In fact, they've made them worse. And that means we're in a very unstable financial system. And so the people who went through 2008 and were structured incorrectly, and I know because I was one of them, then they ended up losing a lot of the properties that other people were able to come pick up and buy and have since made a lot of money on. So it wasn't the property that was the problem. It was how the investor was structured. They weren't structured to weather the storm. And that was really the big lesson out of 2008. And so going forward, when you look at real estate as a safe haven investment in a portfolio, the key is not just having the real estate, but how you've structured the real estate in the context of knowing we are part of an unstable financial system.
Now, the financial system that we're part of also can benefit us. The fact that we can borrow and get leverage against properties, the fact that we can collect our tenants' rent electronically, all those things. However, we also have to look at the other side. What if there were to be a challenge or there was to be some sort of freeze or collapse or whatever word you want to use? What kind of assets are going to be safe? If you look what happened in, say, Greece, when one morning people woke up completely frozen out of their bank accounts, that's a scary, scary thing to be around. And if the financial system, it has some challenge, and we hear all these things that it's razor thin margins and that it has been close to a complete collapse a couple of times. Okay. Rather than get all worked up about it again, what can we do? What are prudent steps we can take to make sure that if there were to be something, we'd be okay? Back to Simon Black's idea. He talks about it's a good idea to have some cash. And it might be a good idea to have some personal metals that you own. That's probably a good idea. You're not going to be any worse off if nothing goes wrong. And if it did, how happy would those folks in Greece have been if they had some purchasing power they could get their hands on in that situation? So this isn't to freak anybody out. And we're not doom and gloomers, right? We're very optimistic about the future. What we're trying to do is let you guys see the amazing opportunity that'll be created if and when a negative thing happens. And the time to prepare is now. As John F. Kennedy was fond of saying, the time to repair the roof is when the sun is shining.
Right. That's exactly right. You know, one of the other concerns in just looking at the three things that we were talking about, one is the dollar, one is the unstable financial system. The other one is financial predators. And what happens is when times get tough, when people are scrambling, trying to figure out how to make it, a lot of times they go after people they perceive to have deep pockets. And one of the challenges we have as real estate investors is our assets are hanging out there in the wide open. I mean, it's you can hide paper, but it's very difficult to hide a piece of real estate. And so how does real estate fit into an asset protection scheme? How can you structure your properties in such a way that it isn't the low-hanging fruit? It's not easily seized. It's not easily taken. It's not easily attractive when people are out there looking around for people that have a lot of money who they might try to sue or somehow go after their assets. How do you structure yourself in such a way to protect yourself from that? And so these are things that all can be done through real estate. And a lot of people don't understand that. And that's some of the stuff we want to touch on as we go through this episode.
So those are our challenges. What's happening with the dollar or whatever your currency might be, the unstable financial system and financial predators. What do we do about all that? That's what we're going to discuss when we continue. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Live nationwide, you're listening to The Real Estate Guys. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com.
If you love real estate and have always wanted to own your own business, listen up. The Real Estate Guys and their panel of experts want to teach you how to go full-time fast in the real estate syndication business. These next few years may go down in history as one of the best times ever to acquire investment real estate. There are deals everywhere if you know where to look and how to assemble the resources. The Secrets of Successful Syndication Seminar will show you how to make big money doing big deals from a team of experts that have syndicated projects totaling more than $1 billion. Don't wait for someone to give you a raise or create a job for you. Attend the Secrets of Successful Syndication and learn how to build a team, raise capital, find deals, and make full-time money in 6 months or less. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events. All the big players use syndication as a way to diversify risk, optimize profits, and earn big money. You can too. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events.
Are you ready to profit in paradise? Hi, it's Robert Helms, and if you think real estate investing means tenants, toilets, and termites, think again. Located just a short plane ride from the U.S., a virtually untouched paradise awaits, the beautiful country of Belize. When you go to Belize with the Real Estate Guys, you'll spend four fabulous days discovering one of the most intriguing real estate markets I've ever seen. With its jungle rainforest, pristine beaches, and 81-degree turquoise water, Belize is one of the most beautiful places on Earth. Plus, it's considered one of the top seven tax havens in the world. Belize property is on the rise, and many experts think the best is yet to come. But don't just take my word for it. Come experience Belize firsthand at our upcoming investor field trip. When you join us, you'll discover the many reasons we love Belize, like tremendously undervalued beachfront land, super low taxes, ease of doing business, and so much more. Get the details at realestateguysradio.com. Just click on events. See paradise for yourself. Click events at realestateguysradio.com, and I'll see you in beautiful Belize.
Hello, Robert Kiyosaki. Listen to the Real Estate Guys. They're wild and crazy, but they really know what they're talking about.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show. There's still time to join us for Create Your Future, the 2017 Goals Retreat, happening in beautiful San Diego, California. We get together and plan our year and our lives, and it's extraordinary. All the details at realestateguysradio.com under events. We're talking about real estate as a safe haven asset. What does that mean? That means there's all kinds of threats to the system and to us personally, and we want to set up our portfolios in such a way that real estate protects us more than just the income stream or even the asset value. We're protected by it. And we talked about some of the threats in the first segment. Let's talk about some things you can do. Throughout the show, we want to give you some safety tips, if you will, some actionable steps you can take to be ready for what might happen.
Yeah, I think the first thing is really to understand to focus on income over appreciation. And, you know, we're the equity guys, and we totally get that. And you have to understand with real estate, income is equity. It's an important concept. But a lot of times it's easy in a hot market to focus on equity outside of income. In other words, you kind of speculate a little bit. Hey, if I buy this property and it goes up for no reason, not because the income's going up, just because somebody else is willing to pay more for it, then I've made money. Well, that may be true, but you're vulnerable. And again, in 2008, a lot of people who were playing that game found that out the hard way. So the concept is in your investing, remember to focus on income over appreciation. And then if you want to drive appreciation, focus on increasing income, because now you fundamentally improve the value of the property. You haven't just technically improved it. In other words, it's not just about the greater fool theory. I think the other thing you can do is favor assets with income that you actually can influence. We just talked about this idea of raising the income. Well, if wages go up, if the supply and demand in the marketplace is such that you have a desirable property and a lot of people who can afford to pay it want it, I mean, there's some things you can do to pick a market and pick a property and a demographic strategically to maximize the chances that things outside of your control are likely to happen. And you should do that. But it's also wise to pick properties out that you actually have a viable plan going in on how you can increase the income.
Yeah, I think that's critical. I mean, any way that makes sense as an investor, it's one of the great arguments for real estate. If I buy a share of stock, there's not much I can personally do to influence the value of that stock. And I can call the president and give him a bunch of attaboys, but I can't do much to it. Whereas real estate, there are so many tangible things we can do. And if we're owning a real asset like real estate and we're after the income, it's the durability of the income, which means, is there a tenant behind this tenant waiting to move in? Is it a desirable property from the tenant's point of view? And are there plenty of tenants in the market, whether that's a retail office tenant, a residential tenant? And as we're looking for the income we can influence, the property itself might have some ability for us to rehab and repair or to subdivide or to build additional units if necessary. And while we're talking about income, I know you're also hearing us talk about a potential collapse in the dollar or the financial system. Here's the situation. When you own a rental property, the folks living there will find some way to provide value to you in exchange for a roof over their heads. The most common way is to pay you rent. But if that were to change, if we were to wake up one day and be frozen out of all of our bank accounts, your tenants are still going to figure out a way to add value. They're going to do something to earn the right to have a roof over their head. And all of the financial crisis that can occur always gets worked out. There's always something. We'll take care of the United States. We use the US dollar, and it's the strong currency right now. However, it's happened to have lost more than 95% of its value over the last 100 years. So how strong is it? It's not the United States' first currency, nor will it likely be the last currency used in the United States. It's easy to think dollar-centric if your entire life it's all you've ever used, but if you study history, you'll see we've had lots of different types of currency in these United States, and that's true for a lot of the folks listening from countries around the world. The currency you have today is not likely the currency you always had, and yet we've always had tenants, we've always had landlords, we've always had people living in or working in our buildings. They'll find a way to pay. So that's the income growth. But there's even more to it than that. And it's that, Russ, you mentioned this earlier, and I think this is critical to understand that increased income does mean increased equity.
Well, and it's really the key. And this is why it's so important to understand that, you know, a lot of times people think, oh, well, real estate is so slow to build wealth from a cash flow perspective. Well, that's true if you're focused on getting rich from the cash flow. But if you're using the cash flow to create equity, understanding that properties like stocks trade for a multiple of earnings, when you're investing and managing cash flow, both top line revenue and managing your expenses so you drive a solid bottom line, what we call net operating income, that's really your opportunity to create additional equity. And now you're creating, to your point, Robert, you've got an asset that is creating value for you in whatever the currency du jour is in any economic environment. This is the thing. Real estate, the need for real estate transcends borders. It transcends economic times. It transcends currencies. It transcends all kinds of things. And that's why real estate as an investment, specifically income producing real estate, and then when you think about it, even within income producing real estate that serves basic human needs. We talked about agriculture in previous episodes. We talk about things like oil, energy. That's a form of income coming out of real estate. We talk a lot about housing, and then within the scope of housing, what niches in housing are most likely to have the greatest demand going forward? What are people realistically going to be able to afford? Where's the greatest demand going to be? And so these are all things to think about. But the idea that you can create safety for yourself by focusing on income, that you can favor assets that you have a chance to influence, like real estate, and then use that real estate to not only produce income, but also to produce equity. And that provides long-term wealth. And I don't know of any other investment, to your point earlier, Robert, where you can buy it and have so much influence over both the income and therefore the value than you can with real estate.
Now, part of what we're talking about today has to do with, of course, your time horizon. If you're the kind of person that buys real estate, fixes it up, turns around and sells it, that's different than the folks who are adding real estate to their collection portfolio so that they own more and more of it over time. The ups and downs that change and things like currency and the financial system and even the idea that there's financial predators, all of that over time is going to ebb and flow and change. There'll be high times, there'll be low times, there'll be great cheap interest rates, there'll be super expensive interest rates. It'll be hard to make properties work. It'll be easy to find great properties over the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years. And so you need to think about your time horizon as we talk about these things as well, because we are at our core equity investors, meaning we're after that increase in value from both inflation and appreciation of properties, two different things. If you don't understand that, we'll study that for sure. And the way we control a property long term is through the cash flow. The fact that tenants get up, they go to work for somebody else, they then send 30 to 40% of their income to you, the landlord, and that pays down your mortgage, pays all your costs, and a little more besides. That's the good part. We're talking about real estate as a safe haven investment. When we come back, we'll give some more ideas and strategies, and of course, a couple of the things to prepare for as well. We'll also play real estate trivia next. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Real estate investment advice right in your mailbox. Sign up for the free Real Estate Guys newsletter at realestateguysradio.com.
If you want to retire in the next 5 years or less through real estate, then please pay close attention. My name is Brad Sumrock, and I've taught thousands of my students how to replace their incomes, quit their jobs, and retire faster than they ever thought possible by not investing in single-family homes. You see, there's a secret to retiring fast with little risk, and it has nothing to do with being a landlord, fixing toilets, or flipping houses. The secret is multifamily apartment buildings. Starting from scratch with zero experience, I managed to pocket over $1 million in cash and retire from my 17-year corporate job within 3 years of apartment investing. Now, this is not your typical no-money-down real estate training. We believe in smart, hard work for intelligent people. So if you're good with your finances, have a decent job, or saving your money, and you're looking for a change and getting out of the rat race, then investing in apartment buildings might just be the answer you've been looking for. Send an email right now to sumrock@realestateguysradio.com to get the details of my upcoming training event. And you'll also receive my free training webinar, Apartment Investing for Beginners. That's Sumrock, S-U-M-R-O-K, at realestateguysradio.com.
Hello, this is Dave Lendiger, co-founder of RE/MAX International. You're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program, heard every weekend on this great radio station all the time at realestateguysradio.com. Hey, if you have a question for The Real Estate Guys, we've got another Ask the Guys show coming up. Just go to the website at realestateguysradio.com and click Ask the Guys. We can't answer your questions personally, but we love to answer great ones on the air. And that'll be coming up soon. We're talking today about real estate as a safe haven asset, kind of a takeoff on a talk we did at the New Orleans Investment Conference. And before we're done today, we'll tell you how you can get on the advance list to attend the New Orleans Investment Conference next year, because it's an amazing, amazing event. Before we get back to our discussion, it's time to play real estate trivia. That's your chance to win a prize by knowing the answer to today's real estate trivia question, which is going to have something to do with real estate, the U.S. Mint, and the Federal Reserve. If you can figure all that out, then you are worthy of a prize. And the prize this week is a great book called The Social Capitalist by Josh and Lisa Lannon. They're Rich Dad Advisors. It's an amazing book about how you can create a venture that has to do with not just making a profit, but making a difference. That can be yours if you know today's real estate trivia question. Last week on The Real Estate Guys, we asked this: what country boasts the world's largest living teak tree? Well, we were talking about sustainable forestry and investing in teak and those kinds of things. And so where is the world's largest teak tree? Well, it's in India, of course, one of the large producers. In fact, it's located within the Perambikulam Wildlife Sanctuary in the Palghat district of Kerala in India.
Easy for you to say.
Not really. It's actually, it's got a name. They call this tree Kanamara. It's approximately 47 and a half meters tall. So that's a big old tree. Here's our real estate trivia question for this week. We were talking earlier about the Federal Reserve, and when you think about money, our money in the United States gets minted at a United States mint. So we're going to do some math here. There are 12 different Federal Reserve banks, right? We have our Board of Governors in Washington, D.C., and then around the country, there are 12 different Federal Reserve banks. Now, what about where is the money made at the U.S. Mint? Well, there are 7 different places that coins and bills get printed. Here's what I want you to do to make this a real estate trivia question. Name the 3 states that have both. Yep, which 3 states in the United States have both a Federal Reserve Bank and a U.S. Mint? And do it quickly so you can be the first person to get your answer in. Just send an email to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. trivia@realestateguysradio.com. Include your name, the answer to the question, and your physical mailing address so that if you're the winner, we can send you a copy of Josh and Lisa Lannon's great book, The Social Capitalist. That's today's real estate trivia question. We're talking about investing in real estate, not just for the income, not just for the appreciation, but as a way to hedge all the bets. A safe haven asset. What happens if things go bad? Are you protected? And I think one of the things that we should talk about, Russ, that is one of the big challenges, and we address this in our real asset investing report, and that's something called counterparty risk.
Yeah, right. It's really important, and it's probably the biggest risk or the biggest source of fragility in our financial system today. I alluded to it a little bit earlier, but the reason it's important, especially was important at the New Orleans Investment Conference, is that conference we were addressing a group of folks that weren't necessarily real estate investors. And so for a lot of people, if you're a real estate investor out there listening to the show and you're talking to people who are non-real estate investors, when they think about investing for income, they think about investing in bonds, annuities, sometimes CDs, bank accounts, although most people these days don't think of that as a source of income because the rates are so low. But these are the types of assets they consider investing in for production of income. Real estate investors look at it buying income-producing properties, or if we want to be on the debt side, investing in mortgages. And so the idea of counterparty risk is the idea that whatever asset you've purchased that's providing you this stream of income is a liability to someone else. In other words, that bond, the IOU, even a mortgage, is only as good as the person behind it. If they don't pay, then you not only don't get the income, but the bond itself has no value. If you have a bond, you're holding a bond from somebody that goes bankrupt, there's nothing. It's got zero value. And so this is counterparty risk. So if you're looking at your balance sheet, you have these things listed on the asset side of your column, just ask yourself, is somebody else listing that very same asset on the liability side of their balance sheet? Because if they are and they default, then your asset has no value.
Which, by the way, unfortunately, is almost every asset you can think about. If you own a piece of real estate and there's a mortgage against it, well, there's counterparty risk. In fact, if you own a piece of real estate and there's a tenant in it, that's potential counterparty risk, although maybe not to the same degree. Almost every financial instrument has another party. If it's your asset, it's their liability. There's very few things that don't have it, but they are in varying degrees, and it's something to be aware of. So what do you do about that? Well, here's some practical ideas. We talked a minute ago about income. You want to look for income from real assets, not liabilities, which can default.
And again, this is a very important topic, and this is why we're bringing it up, because you have a real advantage if you go out into the marketplace to raise money and you're pitching people on why real estate is better. This is a great show for you to take some talking points, because if you're talking to people who are investing for income and they're using bonds or using annuities or using things where the other person on the other side of it might default, if they go bad, there's no one there to pick it up. No one steps in to take their place. Whereas if you buy a piece of real estate and you're renting it out to someone for income and they default, you simply evict them and get somebody else. Imagine being able to take a bond, and then if the person who owed the money failed to pay, you just replace them with somebody else who was willing to pay. Yeah, you can't. I mean, it doesn't work that way with paper assets. And I don't think a lot of investors really understand the superiority of real estate just when it comes to that. And you say, yeah, but then you got to deal with, you know, the tenants and all that. Well, then flip over and be on the mortgage side of it. If you're on the mortgage side of it and you are carrying back a note, maybe on a property you sold, or you make a hard money loan, a private money loan to somebody, which typically pays a very good yield, and it's backed up by 30 or 40% of protective equity in the property, you're typically only loaning 60 or 70% loan to value, and that borrower is making the payment to you, it's great. And then you've got a great yielding income producing investment. But if they default, what do you get? Well, you have an assignment of rents clause. So the first thing you get is, if it's a rental property, you get the rental income. And then during that period of time, you can actually take over the property and own the property through a foreclosure. You could put in another tenant. You could bring in another borrower and sell it to somebody else. I mean, there's so many other things that you could do that you just don't have the ability to do as easily with something like a bond. So from a yield perspective, from a tax perspective, from a counterparty risk perspective, real estate is far superior to most of the income producing paper asset you can find out there.
Now, for more detailed discussion about counterparty risk, you can order our report on real asset investing by sending an email to realasset@realestateguysradio.com, and you'll get that report. Hey, the next thing we want to talk about is, what do you do about these financial predators? There are folks who may legitimately have a cause or case against you, and then there are folks that are just opportunists. And when you have a lot of stuff, a lot of real estate, big portfolio, a lot of income, you have a target on your back. So there are some things you can do about that.
Yeah, I think the first and easiest thing is to hold some assets outside the financial system. You know, right now, if you have a brokerage account, a bank account, these are just very easily found. Everything's indexed to your social security number. Lawyers have these databases that they can go into to find things. Obviously, the taxing authorities, courts can find things very easily. You hate to think that you'd get sued, and you'd like to think that if you did get sued and you weren't wrong, that you would be safe.
Well, that is true, Russ, in one place on earth, and it's called fantasy land. Everywhere else, it's not that way, unfortunately. Hate to be the bearer of bad news, but whether you're right or wrong has very little to do with who wins a lawsuit.
Well, I think the thing is you're trying to mitigate yourself from an unjust justice system. If it turns out to be just, great. I mean, again, if you're safe and the system is just, then you're fine. No harm, no foul. If you have your assets exposed and the system is unjust, then you don't get to control when and how those things come out. And I'm not saying that if you get sued and you have a judgment against you, you don't have to pony up. But there are some things you can do in your asset protection scheme, which is beyond the scope of this show, where you can become somewhat undesirable. I think of like being an armadillo, you know, or a porcupine. You just roll up in a ball, and yeah, the predator could eat you, but it's not gonna be a very pleasant experience. And so,
ow,
a lot of times they just move on to the next thing. So you're holding assets outside the financial system. You know, real estate is certainly outside the financial system, especially if you're holding it in an entity and you structure that properly. You certainly can go offshore. and move to different jurisdictions. We're big proponents of owning property, not just in one area or one state or one country, but owning internationally and having structures for that. And then using privacy structures so that you can actually own something that is right out in plain sight, but indexing it back to you is really, really difficult. Now, if somebody were to actually sue you, they would, through a process of disclosure, find out that you owned it. But if they're trying to find you through the asset and they go looking at the asset and there's no clue that you're anywhere near related to it, the only thing that they're looking at is that asset itself. If you use liens like second mortgages and things on the property to show that the property really has no equity in it, then there's really not a lot to go after. So again, it's beyond the scope of this particular episode, but it's stuff we have talked about before. I'm sure we'll talk about it again. But these are things that as you grow your portfolio and you start really having a lot to worry about, then it's important to begin to seek out advisors who can help you create these structures and organize yourself in such a way that if times get tough and that predator is prowling around in the marketplace looking for low-hanging fruit, somebody who's got a big fat wallet hanging out there that they can go after, you just want to make sure that that's not you. You want to be higher up the tree.
At the risk of taking 30 seconds for a shameless plug, one of the best things you could do to get around folks who really understand this, both from the provider perspective who are able to help you with it and people that are really doing it in their real lives, is come on the Investor Summit. We have great discussions around dinner, around cocktails, about what are you doing to protect yourself. And we're in international waters when it happens. So people are often very open about the techniques and strategies and structures that they use because they're in an environment of like-minded folks. So if you're super serious about it, there's still a few cabins left on the Investor Summit. And you can find out more at realestateguysradio.com under Summit. So there are a couple of safety tips. When we come back, we're going to talk about strategic real estate investing as a safe haven investment. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Need help with your real estate investment portfolio? Check out the resources page at realestateguysradio.com.
Memphis is famous for being the home of the king of rock and roll, but it's also the king of cash flow. If you're looking for affordable cash flow properties, it's hard to beat Memphis. Get your portfolio rocking and more cash flowing your way by calling Terry Kerr at Mid-South Home Buyers. Terry's the king of turnkey properties. Contact Terry through the resource section at realestateguysradio.com. And be sure to order Terry's Tips for Turnkey Rental Property Investing Report. It's free. Just send your request to turnkey@realestateguysradio.com. Are you achieving everything you want in life? What if there was a time-tested way for you to get everything you've dreamed of? The most successful people in life set goals and keep themselves accountable. But how? The good news is that it's not rocket science. You too can learn the skills and unleash the motivation that will create success in your life. And now is the time. Hi, this is Robert Helms, and I'd like to personally invite you to attend Create Your Future, the 2017 Goals Retreat, January 6th through 8th in beautiful San Diego, California. This unique weekend has been called phenomenal, inspirational, and life-changing by the hundreds of people that have attended. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com and click events, or call 888-489-7723, extension 18. Get your life back on track physically, spiritually, and financially. Attend the 2017 Goals Retreat on the first weekend of the new year. Click events at realestateguysradio.com to register. This is no dress rehearsal. Live the life you were meant to. Visit realestateguysradio.com or call 888-489-7723, extension 18, today.
Hi, I'm Steve Forbes. You're listening to The Real Estate Guys. Listen up.
And welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show. Tell a friend about The Real Estate Guys. We're talking a little differently today. We're looking at real estate from a different angle, if you will, as a safe haven asset. We did a presentation like this at the New Orleans Investment Conference. In fact, if you're interested in attending next year's New Orleans Investment Conference, and you're going to want to, great speakers, excellent content, and of course, hang out with the real estate guys, you can get on the advance list by sending an email to neworleans@realestateguysradio.com. That's neworleans@realestateguysradio.com. It also happens to be a really fun place to go and hang out. So come with us next year. Hey, let's talk about why real estate investing can be strategic and some ways to do that in light of this discussion.
We summarized this in New Orleans. And again, we were talking to a bunch of people who are not necessarily real estate investors, although I have to admit, for the type of conference it is, I was surprised how many people, when I asked, put up their hand and said, yeah, I do invest in real estate. So,
well, the history of the New Orleans Investment Conference is as a resource conference. So there's a lot of talk about oil, gas, gold, metals and mining, junior miners, all of that. The last few years, of course, the real estate guys have been there presenting about real estate and having folks consider it as part of their portfolio. If you listen to this show, it might be the majority of your portfolio. But before we're real estate investors, we're investors. And so we made some points to these folks. And you may just, of course, assume all of this, but I think it can't hurt to review.
Oh, sure. Well, I think obviously the huge one is tax advantages. We talk about income. Income is net, you know, after tax. And if you don't have to pay tax, then you have a lot more income. It's pretty famous, the quip that Donald Trump made during the presidential debates where he was accused of not paying taxes, even though he'd been audited like 15 years in a row. So pretty sure everything he owed, he paid. And yet they were saying that he hadn't paid very much tax. And he said, well, that's because I'm smart. Well, yeah, because he's a real estate guy and he understands the real estate tax advantages that are written into the law and he takes advantage of them. Well, a lot of people who don't invest in real estate don't understand those advantages. And so they don't understand how to mix it into the equation. So when you are in a tough financial environment, one of the very first things you look to do is reduce your costs on things that don't add any substantial value to your life. And, you know, you may decide, hey, I love paying taxes because it adds a lot of value to my life, but most of the people I meet would prefer to pay less and they just don't know how to do it. Again, if you're a real estate investor out there, you know, duh, I get it. But you'd be amazed how many people out there do not understand, and clearly I think this presidential election showed us, do not understand that real estate provides tremendous tax advantages, and you literally can work your income tax all the way down to zero without breaking a single law. In fact, following the law as it was written specifically to give you those breaks.
There are a lot of different things you can invest in to create cash flow. But one of the great strengths of real estate is that it gives you excellent collateral against that cash flow, if you will. If I own a property, even if I own it outright and my tenant is making payments to me and that's my income, if that income changes, as we talked about earlier, it's easy to change out the tenant. But the same thing if it's based on a note or a mortgage or any of that, real estate provides great collateral.
Well, there's so many people out there right now seeking income, and that's a big part of the reason why the interest rates are so low, because people have been out there buying income-producing investments, paper assets, and bidding them up. And when you bid up the price of an income-producing investment, the yield on your capital actually goes down. A lot of people get confused about the inverse relationship of yields and price in bonds, but that's the way it works. And so the baby boomers, big generation, have gone through their financial planning asset allocation models, and they're in the season of life where they're beginning to shift more towards income. And they're taking a lot of counterparty risk by doing it, because they're not considering real estate not only as a place to get superior yields, but also as a place where they're a lot safer in terms of their exposure to counterparty risk. So it's absolutely 100% true. And more people need to understand it who are out there seeking yield and are bidding up bonds and getting involved in these very dangerous investments when real estate is available to them and they just don't know it.
Another great benefit is if you decide to use entity structure, which makes a lot of sense to hold real estate, that there's great asset protection involved. Better and stronger asset protection for investors owning real estate than almost anything else.
That's really true. A lot of people don't understand the way the law works when it comes to bank accounts and brokerage accounts. You're an unsecured creditor. When you put your money in a bank, the bank owes you the amount of your deposit back. They don't hold your money for you. They write you an IOU and then they go do what they want with your money. And they just hope that when you come and ask for it, they have enough liquidity to pay it. And bank liquidity or solvency is a real problem right now, especially because they're heavily invested in bonds. And as interest rates go up, the value in those bonds goes down. It means their balance sheets are in trouble. And this is something that if you have a lot of money in the banking system, or if you have a lot of exposure in the bond market, you should be paying attention to. And it's one of the reasons why it makes a lot of sense to try to begin to move into something like real estate. Again, not only for all the other things we've talked about and to avoid the counterparty risk, but because you can structure it in such a way that you have greater asset protection. It's more difficult for a creditor or a predator to seize real estate than it is to go close at your bank account. Your brokerage account is the same way. When you own shares of stock, your broker owes you those stock. Your broker is the one who actually owns the stock. You just own a claim on it. And if that broker were to go bankrupt, then you could potentially have a problem. Both from a counterparty risk and an asset protection perspective, if you structure your real estate properly, it can be so much more safe than what people are doing in the paper asset markets right now.
Well, not only would it be harder for someone to get the asset, it would be harder potentially for someone even to find out that you have it, because there are great methodologies for getting privacy when it comes to owning real estate. It's not all publicly available. And again, that's a bigger discussion than we have time for today, but there's privacy. And finally, the biggest thing is that with real estate, you can hedge against both inflation and deflation. That's a bigger topic than we really have time to explore in our remaining minutes, but it's certainly worth thinking about.
Well, I think just quickly, it's obvious that when inflation is occurring, that anything real like wages and property prices are going to go up. So you're protected, especially if you've locked in debt. So if you've shorted the dollar effectively by locking in your interest rate and your debt long term, then as inflation comes, you're paying back that long term debt with cheaper dollars. So you win. The challenge where a lot of people get hung up with real estate is on the deflation side. But if you think about it, if you were to put $20,000 down on a $100,000 property and the tenant was making the payment for you and you locked in the long term interest rates and the price of the property were to go down to say 80, you might not be able to sell it without taking a loss. But as long as you keep the tenant in there and they pay that loan off, at some point that loan is going to be paid off. And then you're only ever going to have $20,000 of your own real money in it. And the rest of it all came from the tenant. So even if the property went down to $40,000, you're still doubled your money of what you actually put in. So real estate can hedge you against either side of it. Again, it's a bigger topic than we have time in the closing minutes of this episode, but it is something that you should pay attention to. Don't let somebody come and tell you that real estate is a loser in deflation. That's not true.
So where and how to invest? What we had up the presentation was this graphic of kind of a big tree, and we had what we call the low-hanging fruit, that stuff that's easy for predators to get to, the high-hanging fruit, which is virtually impossible, and stuff in the middle. So the stuff we would encourage people to maybe think twice about before investing, things that they could reach easy, are things like just bank accounts and brokerage accounts for the reasons that Russ just talked about, putting a property in your own name, easy to find and easy to get a lien against, and then, of course, paper assets. Those are kind of the low-hanging fruit. If I'm a predator, that's what I'm going to look for first. That's the easiest stuff to get, and the more of that you have, the easier target you are. Kind of the next step up from that is what we call domestic real assets, things like real estate that are real, and also investing in private placements. Private placements are generally for accredited investors, but there are some for non-accredited investors, folks that maybe don't make as much money yet, but they're private. That's the operative word. They're not easy to get to. If I have invested in somebody's private placement, their syndication, it's very, very difficult for anyone to ever know that I have that investment.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It goes back to what I said earlier. If you get sued because somebody comes after you individually, then you have to disclose that you own things. But if someone is looking at a property and they go after the property and the property owner, it's very hard for them to find you. And then, of course, from a reporting perspective, you know, you have to pay your taxes and all that kind of thing. And there's going to be K-1s and all that. But again, the idea that, you know, you're not out there in some database linked to your social security number showing what your net worth is based on your shares of these private placements, that doesn't show up anywhere.
Another thing to consider, which isn't exactly mainstream, is the idea of private banking. And we did a show on that a few months back with Patrick Donahoe, but he's got a great report on our website. If you go to the resources section of the Real Estate Guys website at realestateguysradio.com and go to special reports, you'll see a report called The Perpetual Wealth Strategy. That kind of explains what we mean by private banking. And then, of course, different entity structures. Now, at the very highest level, the stuff that's virtually impossible to find is when you start holding real assets
outside of your primary jurisdiction. So international investing. And again, private placements and certain international private structures. There's a lot you can do there. Wouldn't start there, but if you've got a lot to protect and if you're at least open to investing in other places than the country you live in, there's some really great opportunities there.
Yeah, that's really the key because, you know, most of the lawyers are only licensed in a particular jurisdiction. And if they're going to be the driving force behind going after you, they only know how to collect or go after assets in their jurisdiction. And so you don't want to have everything hanging out where one country's law firm or governing authorities can find it. And again, you're not doing anything wrong. You're just taking precautions in case the environment becomes hostile. People start going after the people that have wealth and trying to redistribute it or do whatever they're going to do with it. You just want to make sure that you got your stuff spread out in such a way that it's not easy to find. It's not easy to go after, at least frivolously, and that you have a plan B, places to go, places to land, if the place where you happen to be starts to get uncomfortable. So there are definitely people out there who have a lot, and these are things they have to think about. And as you grow your wealth through real estate, we hope you do, you're going to be thinking about these things too.
There's not much we can do about what goes on in the global picture, but we can do a lot about how we react within it. So that's just our thoughts today about real estate as a safe haven asset. We'll have lots more to talk about next week on The Real Estate Guys. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Enjoy this holiday season with those you care about. And until next week, go out and make some equity happen.
This episode of the Real Estate Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Paradigm Life, powerful cash management strategies using life insurance. Learn more at beyourbank.com. Mid-South Home Buyers, low-cost, turnkey cash flow properties in Memphis, Tennessee. Corporate Direct, asset protection strategies for real estate investors from attorney and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton. Find these and other great companies under the Resources tab at realestateguysradio.com. To learn how you can expose your product or service to the Real Estate Guys audience, call 888-489-7723 extension 4. That's 888-489-7723 extension 4. Or use the feedback page at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on the Real Estate Guys Radio Show.